Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Where's he at? Huh? Well, you know, Jesus is up. Listen, I might be whatever behind y'all's time schedule, sort of my time schedule too, but Jesus is always on time. That's just the bottom line. Same as the first. Second verse. Same as the first. Hey, Keisha. Well, good morning. I said that already. Let's start all over again. About like Groundhog Day, it just keeps going over and over, doesn't it? Speaking of timing, since y'all brought that up, Jesus' time, it is always on time. And his appearance when he came to us was right on time. Everything was set exactly up. And I tell you, when he returns, it's right on time. Everything's going to be lined up. Everything's going to be set up and in place. Hallelujah. That just runs it all over me right there. That's what a glorious day it will be. Not when the roll is called up yonder. Because I'm telling you, the roll call's already being called. And that's just what I believe. I'm not waiting to get over yonder. I don't have to. Because he said, when y'all want to learn to pray, pray this. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, but let your kingdom come. And the will be done. I was reading over there in Proverbs this morning in the 12th verse. It says the wicked's going to be removed. The root of the righteous will remain. He created this place for us. He created this place for us. He created this earth for his kingdom to inhabit, to fulfill. This isn't set off for somebody else. All this is going to work out, again, in the perfect timing for us to be who we call. Now, set up. That brings us to the set up part. I had not even two cups of coffee this morning, so let me mute this right quick. Ooh, man, that's some hot coffee. I like it hot, don't y'all? I like it hot. I did. I said, thank you, Lynn. You thank you, Lynn. Everybody thank Lynn. Hallelujah. Seven pots of coffee. My goodness. We ought to. Everybody stand up. Let's go. Let's go to some jumping jacks or something. Seven pots of coffee. Boy, my goodness. I better. No wonder I'm late. Whew. So anyway, hallelujah. I tell you, if we can't enjoy the love of God and the fellowship and camaraderie with our family, we need to back up and punt and regroup. About like what the Gamecocks had to do last night. I don't know if I've ever seen a team that's so pitiful. It's sad. Sad shape. And here's the thing. Not to get off on something that don't really matter, but we're going to make it relevant, okay? They had a bye week, which means they didn't play anybody last Saturday. They had 2 weeks to prepare and produce a product like they did last night. It's unacceptable, you know. So here we are, you know, preparing. What are we preparing for? And that's part of where we are right now, what we're doing. I tell my wife a lot of times that where we go, and I said, we want to make sure that we're fighting the right fight. See, we'll get off track sometimes, and we'll put our efforts in our things, and we'll be fighting over here. But that fight has really no relevancy to what we're supposed to be doing, and we're in the wrong fight. And, I mean, we're doing all our might. We really got it all in there. It's give it the old college try, old boy. You know, we're doing everything we can, but yet we're in the wrong fight. Our the enemy or whatever the target is, we're on the wrong fight to get to that point. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but can I use it, honey, how it first come about, that little thing? Okay. Well, she's probably about 15 hours in on labor at this time with Jody Ann. And we're up in Asheville. It's bad weather. It's in March the 25th, right at it. 24th might have been this night. It's like snowing, calling for bad weather. And we're getting in labor. We're getting in labor. We are getting in labor. Tanya. Now, I'll tell you, I got some experience in this here. And we're doing what we can to try to induce and to get her contractions, to get every, you know, she's not contracted the way she's supposed to be yet. We're trying to get where she's supposed to be, you know. I think she was sitting on a 2 or a 3, somewhere around in there, and we're trying to get it up. You know, you want to be about an 8. You know, and then we start moving. We got progress then. I'm telling you, I'll talk to you about it. So we're sitting there, and they couldn't leave us on the birthing floor area because she wasn't where she's supposed to be yet. We weren't going back down the hill to come back home. So they put us over in another little room. And so we're in there, and they said, well, what if we bring you a ball? Okay. So here's my wife, and here's the thing. She's determined that she doesn't want any drugs. She's Wonder Woman. Easy, honey. It's not. But as we started, she's on that ball, and I mean, she's like, oh. I mean, 15 hours in there. I think it was like 17 total before JoJo came in or came out. And so we're sitting there, and we're like, okay. She's battling. She's fighting. And I'm like, well, what are we doing? I said, honey, she's like, I don't want those drugs. I want to do it. I said, well, why? Why? Well, I'm looking. Pour it on me. IV me. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, whatever it's going to be. I need something. Mike, you definitely need some drugs. Praise God, I finally got on the right one, John. Hallelujah. I finally got the script right. But as we sit there, and finally it just comes to me, you know, why are you fighting this fight? What's the purpose? Is it for the health of the baby? I get it. But there's a lot of babies that come out, and it's really okay. Is it so that you can say, hey, I did it naturally for bragging rights? What is it? And so that's what hit my spirit. And I looked, I said, honey, you do not have to be Wonder Woman here. You don't have to. It's okay. Don't get caught up right here. 17 hours, you know, finally. But it was 15. I'm telling you, we were 15 hours in. Don't suffer and go through this fight when you're fighting the wrong fight. What is the purpose? So why do we endure all that? Why are we enduring this Christian walk? Why are we enduring? A lot of us don't have to suffer much here, though, right? We don't have to endure. It's not like we're on that ball rolling, about to die. Because I got a watermelon here. So we really don't have that effect. That really doesn't have an effect on us right now, right? The suffering. What did Jesus say? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. No, we're cozy in the world. We really are. We love all the bells and whistles we can get. Right or wrong? Do you enjoy hot water in the morning? Well, that's a big bell and whistle. I put some salt and pepper on my eggs this morning. That's a daggone bell and whistle. But we don't even think about that, do we? That doesn't even come until you go to a third world country, huh? Where you in there and you might have a little hot water, but you also got to keep your mouth closed and everything else when the water's coming on you. Because you don't want to let it get into you. Because then you'll be very sick. Because the water is not clean. But when you get home, I know I do, and I get that hot water running on me and I open my mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for the hot water and for the good water that I have. So here's the thing. What the early church and what Jesus went through, he said they're going to do the same thing. But see, what we've done, we have allowed the world to really comfort us in so many ways that we do not know what it is to suffer for the name of Jesus. The hardest suffering that we do for the name of Jesus is denying ourselves. And that right there in itself is a very, very challenging fight. It is for me. Maybe y'all got it going on. But as soon as you think you got something going on, that you're walking in the thing, bam, here comes something else out of left field. It's like, wow, I didn't want that. Well, my goodness, you really wasn't fighting the good fight, you know, over here. You really, really comfortable over here. So something's got to shake you up a little bit. Something's got to get you back on track. Something's got to get you understanding that, hey, this is not my home in the comfort, in the confines of what I have. So it goes to the Peter. We've been set up. All these things that we're going to endure and we're going to go through, it's no surprise to God. Everything's lined up. Is he putting this stuff on us because he's trying to teach us something? Well, you know, you can go there, but then you open a door for somebody to say, hey, well, I wouldn't treat my children that way. I wouldn't let them go through something like that. So what kind of God do you have? All right. Well, he knows your decisions. He knows your choices because they're skewed. Because you have the confines of the world. You also have the other things of the world too, not just the comfy things. You also have what? The abuse, the trauma of people doing whatever they want to do because they feel like that's what they want to do, and they don't even understand why they feel the way they do and why they act the way they do. Why do you think Jesus stood up on the cross saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do? So all this comes in, and here we are. We as a whole, don't even understand what's coming. But we do have these promises if we're in this word, if we're walking close to God, and that's where I want to be, and that's what I want everybody else to be. But sometimes on that walk of God, we're gonna take a walk outside of him into something else that's going to shake us up real bad. And sometimes it's our choices, and sometimes it's not our choice. It's an effect because we are in a broken world, and these things happen. But the reason we're in a broken world so that we can understand and endure what a good world, or good kingdom, a good father is like. For instance, sitting on top of the mountain. But yet I'm not up on the mountain to where I can see everything, okay? I'm not on the lookout spot. I'm just coming through a curve. I can't even see anything but trees. And maybe headlights if it's dark coming around the curve, but I don't know what I'm about to approach. I don't know if that car is in his lane or my lane. So then you look back and you say, wow, how's that reference? We referenced that back to Proverbs 3 that says that what? He will straighten our paths. So I don't have to worry about what's coming around dead man's curve. He's on the straight and narrow. He's on the up and up. So the thing is, I can't see what's coming. But even in the mountains, all I see is this right here. But you know what I can see down here in the foothills? When you ride out 74, going like toward my house, and all of a sudden you see the mountain range, the beauty of it. But you couldn't see it while you're in it. But when you're taken out of it and you can look upon it, then you can see the majesty of his glory. This is where we are. We have the opportunity to be able to see the glory and the majesty of God. But now we also have the opportunity to not stay off somewhere. We can admire it. But my goodness, I want to be in it. I want to be in his majesty. I want to be in his glory. And he says, come. He says, come unto me. All of you who are out here laboring, burdened down, come into me and rest. And so we don't really understand that part. But the thing is, we don't really appreciate being on that outside of the uncomfortableness. All things work to the good to those who love him, who's been called according to, he's calling all of us. He has called all of us. And I believe that you wouldn't be here unless you were called. I'm not talking just in this church building either. I'm talking in a vessel, walking around here in this world. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have a soul if you weren't called. You wouldn't have life if you weren't called. So all of us are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's a whole different part, right? Sometimes I like to think I'm chosen. Until I gotta go through dead man's curve. But all those things still, that's what I'm saying, once you get through it, you're gonna be able to glorify the Lord in a way that you never thought was possible, because you're gonna see him in another light that you've never seen him before. Does that make sense? So with that being said, that's a little segue into Peter. Y'all can see, I'm going to cut it up. I know y'all right here on top of it all. So here's Peter. Here, let's just look right here. And I brought this up the other Wednesday night, but I want to hit it right quick before we go through. And let's just pull up Luke 22, 32. You got that, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir, brother. And so, it's a big deal right here. And just to give some context of where we are, this is, where's my spectacles? It's another good thing of challenges and things that the Lord tells us that, let's see, 32. All right, let's just jump back up to 31. And let's go in there. Let's go 31 to 34 is what I really want to do. All right, so now for you, write that down so y'all can look at this later and dig it up too. So here it is with Peter, and we know what's just happened in the context is that they just had the Lord's Supper. And during this Lord's Supper, Jesus also washes the feet. John writes in his, but Luke didn't bring that up. Jesus washes their feet, serving them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? Has anybody ever been in a foot washing little deal? Ceremony? Which was the hardest? To wash feet or to get your feet washed? Yeah. So that's where Peter says, oh, don't wash my feet, Lord. So what is that? What comes up in you when you don't want that person to wash your feet? What do you think that is you're battling right there? Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it's pride. It's pride. It's pride. It is. Because you're very vulnerable and you don't like it. Vulnerability, pridefulness, different spectrums. To love, to truly love and to learn to love, you're going to have to be very vulnerable. Everything. It's complete submission. And that's why Jesus was telling them, you don't even know, Peter. Peter said, well, I don't know all that. Well, he said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing in me. He said, well, just not just my feet, wash my whole body. Wash all of me. He said, not only your feet, if your feet's clean, your whole body's clean. He's like, what? That's crazy. What are you talking about? I want head to toe. Well, it's not just head to toe. Because what did Paul write over in Romans? How are they going to know unless what? A proclaimer takes it to them. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing the word. Well, how are they going to hear? A proclaimer, a preacher. Somebody's going to tell them about the faith of Jesus Christ. Not some other bodies, but their faith in Jesus Christ by what they have experienced Jesus has done for them. And if Jesus hadn't done anything for you, it's going to be very difficult for you to be sincere and real and carry an anointing, which is the manifestation of the Spirit of God, that, boom, just going to really pop somebody, right? That they're going to really shake them up. Only Jesus can reveal Jesus. Only Jesus. You might think you can, but no. Jesus reveals himself. That's his honor. That's his glory. And that's part of what he gives to us. But he gives it to us. Not for us to be prideful, to think that we're going to change somebody's life, because I can't change anybody's life. But the Lord God can and will, because he's the one who baptizes. So how beautiful are the feet that brings the good news. What good news? Oh, let me tell you about a man who told me everything, who loved me. I just felt it in his words, in his essence, in his presence, that when it engulfed me, oh, it was the missing piece. Hallelujah. Not just the missing piece, but the missing piece. So here's Peter. I got some stuff I want to get into. Hallelujah. So here's Peter. Don't do that. And he said, well, I'll follow you anywhere you do all this. You know what I mean? Lord, hey, if you save me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Son, just stop. Okay? Outside of me, you can do nothing. And the way you're talking, you're already outside of me. Basically, that's what he told Peter right there. You don't even know what you're saying, Peter, because you're going to deny me three times before the rooster even crows. Okay? Before the sun comes up. That's what he's saying. Before the sun even comes up, you're going to deny me three times. And even Peter right then said, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And then he goes in here. You ready? So then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded, That's what mine says. Some say requested, some has asked, but this one says demanded. To have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have converted or epistrepho, strengthen your brothers. And he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you, here it is, to prison and to death. I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times that you even know me. Now, how is that even possible, man? How about to you, you know? Would you deny him at all? Depends on the situation, circumstances. I don't know what you might have to go through. There might be something going on that's coming down the road that's really going to test your faith in such a way that you could never even imagine right now. So let me get this out right quick. So here, let's look up there to the 22. He said he's asked to do what? What he's going to do? He's going to do what? Sift him. He's asked to sift you. What? Sift you as wheat. Now that's the deal. What does sift mean? Now look, sifted, here's a word. I'm just going to put this on here, okay? And coming out of here, I'm going to put asked to sift. So this word right here in the Greek is synazio. Kind of weird, huh? It's got sin in it. Synazo. I might speak it with an Italian accent instead of a Greek. I don't know. It makes you want to, those last vowels on the end of it. And that means to riddle. To riddle an inward, how about this? An inward, I don't know if y'all can see this or not, agitation. Huh? And to try one's faith. So he's demanded to sift you or to riddle you, to confuse you, to perplex you, to give you an inward agitation. So you're like in a washing machine on the inside out. How many turn their britches inside out when they put them in there? That's about what was going on with Peter. He got turned inside out and put in a washing machine. Everything inside of him starts getting turned and flipped around, wrung out. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? And you start, what do you start? To try one's faith. So what happens when that starts going on in your life? What happens? You start asking questions, don't you? What's this going on? Why am I going through this? What is going on? Lord, are you even there? What is going on? You know I love you. Yeah. But do you know what love really means? Do you understand the depth of God's love? Do you understand God? Because God says, the word says God is love. So when this stuff comes, that's what he says. When Peter, can I get to the end of it already? My goodness, when Peter's finally converted. So he tells Peter this right now. Now when he goes, he's like, man, he's really confused right now. He's really shaken or sifted, riddled, perplexed. But here's another little freebie I want to throw in there right quick. That sift. This is cool. You can't sift it without a device. There's got to be something else used. The enemy just can't come into your life and start shaking you up and sifting you. He's going to use a device. There's something that he's going to use. Some person, some kind of whatever it might be, a drug, it might be whatever it is. A phone. He's got to have a device. And so when it comes to here to sift, you got to have something called sift. And what is that? A sieve is a device which makes what? All right, here we go. A device that, hallelujah, here we go. See, this is the thing. This is the good part right here. All right, okay? It's a device that makes left A out right there. All right. Finer particles and coarse ones. I know this is down here. See, he had to use a device. What? That device takes finer particles and coarser particles, and it separates it. Hallelujah. So, you think Peter's liking this? He don't even understand what God just told him. All he knew is, man, that means I got something coming at me that I don't think I'll ever do. I will never deny the Master. The Lord God. I'll never walk away from him. I'll never be enticed from the presence of God. You know the old saying, never say never. Because you can just open the door right there. Oh, really? The old enemy said, let me get myself. Let me come in here. So look what happens. Now, right after that, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then look, what happens? What happens? Here comes Judas. Here comes the army. Here they come. And hey, he even says that Peter draws a sword out and cuts old Malchus's ear off. And there's a whole other teaching off of that right there. And Jesus said, put it up, because this is not how we fight. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. This is not how it is. But hear what Jesus said. He said, don't you know that I stood amongst you, didn't do anything, and now here you want to come and bring an army and swords and all these things? Who do you think I am? I'm not a criminal. I'm not somebody that you think that what you're coming, you're addressing me as the way you would a criminal. All I've done is loved and helped and healed and done all these things, but yet you still want to persecute me because I'm shutting your business down. That's what Jesus did. Jesus shut their little playground down. Jesus shut their businesses down. This right here is not a business. This is life itself. It's not a business, because a business does things for money. It does things for more comfort, for more pleasure. Oh, Jesus tells you, you're going to do all the opposite of that. Why? Why? Why did he help you? And look what he says over in Peter. Let's go to Luke 22 and 54, but just really 54 through 62, and that's all the part of him denying him, right? Just for time constraints. But just look at verse 54. And then we'll close in this one right here. Can somebody read 54 for me? Go for it. Read it loud and proud. Up. about as far as we need to go. Peter followed at a distance. There's your door. There's the door. I believe if Peter stayed on the heels of Christ right there, who knows? Would he deny him? If he really said he was going to do whatever for the Lord, why was he at a distance? I said that to say this as we close. We're set up. God knows what we're going to do. He knows what we're going to face already. We don't know. We don't know. But I guarantee you this part. Everything that we will go through is something that will draw you back closer to Him. Because in that sea, it's going to get the stuff that's not belonging, and it's going to fine-tune you, and it's going to pull out the glory of God that's really in you, not the things of the world. That coarse stuff has got to go. Praise God for the agitation, because if it wasn't for the agitation, I wouldn't know I need to be cleaned up. I didn't know that there was something in there just rattling around in the washing machine. What is that? Oh, that's a quarter. Well, praise God. Give that to the Chinese laundry. Maybe they're not politically correct, but that's what we used to say. To the washwoman. Is that better? Whoever's doing the laundry for you. They get the money. You don't get it. It's gone. But I hear it rattling. So the thing saying, what's going on in Peter's life, if he would have been where he's supposed to be, we wouldn't have went through these things. And so I said all that to say this, when we're in the presence of God, the closer you are to Him, the safer you will be. You will not even understand and comprehend the things going on in the world. You won't even know there's something rattling around in that washing machine because you're so engulfed in the presence of God and you're in the safety of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters because everything else is vanity. It's nothing. It's nothing. Lord God, thank you for your love and your life and just the plans you have for us that we don't even know what they are, but we know that every step, everything, I need you. I need you more. Lord, thank you for always being on time, even when I'm out of time. You got time in your hands. Time is irrelevant to you, and it is to us as long as we're in your presence. Time goes away. Hallelujah. We're eternal beings because you are forevermore. We praise you, Lord, and we pray that you continue to work in our lives to keep drawing us. I know you are. I don't even have to pray that. I thank you, Lord God, for working in our lives the way you do to draw us closer because you love us that much that you want us to understand your love of who you are and what you are and that let us be that love too. Hallelujah, because you said you will know my children by the love they have. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love y'all.